I noticed that quite a few are coming in quite late, which is, of course, disturbing to meditation. And I realize that some come from a long way out of town and some are delayed at work. And I was wondering if perhaps it would be better if we would resume our 8:30 meeting instead of 8. How many are in favor of that? Nobody? Certainly the ones who came in late must be. Well, all right, we'll leave it at 8, but I would appreciate it if you'd make a special effort to get here on time. Is there anything that anybody wants to talk about, especially tonight? Don't all speak at once. Come on, some of you have
Mother,
some questions.
I must ask a question. Can one reach perfection on this earth?
Yes. We can reach perfection in the sense that we attain the full realization of our oneness with the Father. In order to do that, we must completely purify ourselves physically, mentally, and spiritually. We must at all times strive with everything that is within us to reach our goal. We can't just reach out as for a dream. We can't just wish upon a star. We have to do our part. We say that we want God realization, union with the Father. And yet few people really realize what that means and what it involves to attain. It is a state of perfect at-one-ment with the source of all creation. It is a state of perfect at-one-ment with your highest self. It is a conscious effort to rise above the humanness within you, that one that continues to make mistakes, to make the wrong choices, to be ensnared by the desires of the senses. And it involves a constant reaching out for that which we call the Spirit of God. It is that life within ourselves. It is the great I Am, the supreme ego of the universe. I'm glad you asked that question because I was thinking about it myself today. And I was thinking of it in terms of how we actually, each of us, write a book of life. We write that book just as surely as though we sat with a pen or pencil in hand, or with our fingers on a typewriter, or with a dictating machine, and actually put down the thoughts and the feelings that we have in an imaginary basis if we're going to write a novel. Some people deal in scientific facts, of course, and there are many people who write about various subjects, and they write about them factually from scientific experimentation. But each of us contains the pristine pages on which we may write whatever we choose in our own book of life. And when you stop to think of the power of that choice that you have every moment of your lives, that you can choose to work in harmony with God's laws, or you can choose to satisfy the demands of your senses, it is a tremendous power which you wield. This power which you wield is the same power which brought this universe into being, which is constantly expressing itself in every facet of constant creation. We speak of creation as though it was something which began once upon a time. It is the Alpha and the Omega, or the beginning and the end. And yet creation is going on constantly. Constantly. There is no beginning and no end because it is an expression of the Spirit of God, the love of God, the power of God, the intelligence of God, moving forward and creating every moment of our lives. And we think, when we think of the tremendous fact that in truth we are co-creators with God, that we can create the situations in our lives which will either bring us happiness, peace, contentment, or absolute disillusion and sorrow, misery, pain, and sometimes very drastic punishment, we stop and think, who, I? Can I do all of this? But is it not a fact? Is it not a fact? Indeed it is. Every moment of our lives we have this free choice to work with God or to work against His law. And in accordance with that free choice which we make, we either build perfection or imperfection into our lives. Perfection is a total thing. It is made up of many component parts, but in itself it is absolutely the utmost perfection in every part of your life, of your being. You cannot spend time in meditation and still go out and do the things which you know are against God's laws. You can't go out and drink and smoke and use drugs and overindulge in sex. You can't hate your neighbor. You can't harm him. You can't be constantly gossiping. You can't be slandering. You can't be cheating, lying, stealing, and still expect to reach your goal. It is literally impossible because you're trying to serve both God and mammon too. God realization certainly is the pearl of great price. It is not an easy thing to attain. It takes heroes and heroines to actually put their feet upon the path and to do what is necessary to attain this last and perfect state which man was designed to attain in the beginning. Jesus made this statement, "Ye are gods." But as we look around us in the world today, we see very few people in this world whom we would qualify as gods. We couldn't possibly imagine them to be gods. Why? Because they have not lived up to their birthright. They have not fulfilled their heritage. They have not made the necessary effort to, shall we say, deny themselves in order that they might find themselves. It takes strong willpower. It takes an absolute idea of what the goal is. And the goal is the realization of God within yourself. You can't find Him outside of yourself. You can see Him manifesting in other people. You can see Him manifesting in all of His works of creation. But you can only find the truth of being within your own consciousness. You have to build or hew a path for yourself. You have to decide first, I want oneness with my Father. I want to know what it feels like, this state of oneness that the spiritual teachers speak of. Is it truly as blissful? Is it truly as powerful? Is it truly as peaceful? Is it truly as filled with love and all of the good things which we say are the kingdom of God? How can I find this out for myself? And in order to do that, you must find someone who can help you to put your feet on the path, who will teach you the necessary methods and techniques by which you can go within yourself and learn the art of concentration. There are many people who teach the art of concentration from the standpoint that they will tell you to light a candle and to open your eyes halfway and look at that candle. Concentrate on the light, because that will help you to concentrate. They will also tell you to concentrate on a rose or some article outside of yourself. But this has a tendency to take you into psychic realms, into the astral realms. And the highest, the best methods are those which teach you to to go within yourself, to concentrate or focus upon one particular thing, such as the spiritual eye. The fact that you are breathing and a gradual control of that breath, and to hear the Om sound, to gradually put all of your thoughts together and pour them into one funnel. And at the end of that funnel is the great light of your own soul. In the beginning, it seems as though you're in a state of darkness. But don't forget that you have been drawing the veils of ignorance over the eyes of your own consciousness for centuries upon centuries upon centuries. It has not taken you just a day to get where you are now. We have been living in a state of ignorance and darkness. But now, like Paul on the road to Damascus, we have turned our face to God. We have seen the light. We have felt the first workings, the inner workings of the Spirit. And the desire takes hold of us to want something more than we have ever had before. We are tired of what we have built in our lives. We are tired of being pushed around by fate. Just like a person out in a wash tub in the middle of the ocean, subject to all of the elements. We want to find out how we can become masters of our own ships. We want a compass. We want a rudder. We want a steering apparatus, and we want a map. We want to know where we're going and how to get there. And it takes a strong hand at that steering wheel. Because believe me, the waves of delusion that lap on the shores of your consciousness are really something to behold. They're regular tidal waves, and they will do everything to distract you. And you can say to yourself, I'm sorry, but I can't put my mind together. I can't make it focus on any one thing. That is not the truth. You have no difficulty in focusing your mind upon the things that happen to attract you in your pursuit of the senses. You can concentrate on that tremendously. You can go to a theater and watch either a play or a movie, and you are absorbed in it. You are concentrating every minute upon it. You are laughing, you are crying, you are disgusted, you are fearful. Whatever the play is about, the actors portray their parts, and you identify with them. So you can concentrate. But to concentrate upon God is a new thing. That doesn't satisfy the senses. And the senses and the mind forever want to be entertained. And this doesn't do it. But gradually, if you will persist, if you are actually sincere in your desire to work in harmony with God's laws, with the idea of final union with Him, enlightenment will start to come, and you will find and feel the first workings of the Spirit. You will feel inspiration. You will be uplifted. You will feel yourself reaching out because you feel a joy and a peace and a happiness that you hadn't felt before. Little things will start to happen. Things that maybe they're minor miracles, but some of them are great miracles. And you start to learn to use the power of positive thinking. But it requires more than just positive thinking. It requires positive doing along with the positive thinking. Because thought without action is like faith without works. It doesn't get you any place. Now, you will find certain manifestations as a result of your thinking because your mind is very powerful, or that spirit which operates through the mind is all powerful. But nevertheless, you will keep on trying, and you will want to expand your consciousness, and you will want to feel more and more, experience more and more of these miracles. And you will rejoice in them. But you know, then the ego has the faculty of pinning its attention on the manifestation of the miracles, and not on that soul one, who is the source and the performer of all miracles. We get caught up in these manifestations. We call them by many names. Demonstrations. I had a wonderful demonstration today. I concluded a business deal that I've been working on for a long time, or I was able to get something new for the house, Or do you know, for the first time, my foot didn't hurt because I'd been working with my concentration upon God. We have many of these things. But we are distracted from keeping our full attention upon that source, our Father God. He is within us. And if we could keep up a constant conversation with Him, I mean constant, every moment of our lives, we would find miracles happening every moment. Because He does speak to us. He also listens to us. And you can carry on a conversation with Him. I have not only had His answers come to me in great floods of enlightenment, in answers through the mental process and through the feeling process, but I have actually heard words spoken out loud just as I am speaking to you as of this moment. And these words were words of prophecy. They were words of direction, and they came true. That's how you know whether or not you have tested that spirit, and that spirit is of God. When it becomes the fulfillment of prophecy, they say that there are three ways that you can test the truth of that which is given to you in Revelation. The first is that it is confirmed by a saint. The second, that it is written in the Scriptures. The third is that it becomes the fulfillment of prophecy. Prophecy fulfilled. You see it happen when you have received information from the Spirit within. And actually, that which is described to you, which you feel, comes to pass. Then when you get that certain feeling the next time, you know that this is God speaking to you. But this great delusive force, which we call the satanic influence, comes in to tempt us and distract us away from our complete concentration upon God. As I have said many times, you can concentrate deeply on anything. But you must learn the art of concentration in order to be able to meditate upon God. What is meditation? It is the art of fixing your attention upon the supreme creator of the universe, solely and totally, to the exclusion of all else. That is what meditation is. Meditation can be done sitting in a formal position, but also there are many people in life, and I was one of them, who was kept so busy by God that they didn't have time to sit down and meditate regularly every single day. The demands on the time and the strength were too great. And you were lucky if you fell in bed and had 3 or 4 hours sleep. But in such cases, if the heart is with God, if the mind is always fixed upon God, that is also a great form of meditation. If all of the work that you do is dedicated to the Lord, and at the same time that you know that of yourself you do nothing, and that it is your Father who is doing the work through you, then that is meditation every moment of your life. And the more you meditate upon God, the greater is the desire of the heart for union with Him. The longing, the yearning becomes so great that it becomes an obsession. You want God realization above everything else. And you will be willing to do anything, to give up anything, in order to do that. Now, what are we saying when we say that you should give up everything? First and foremost, it requires a supreme sacrifice of giving up yourself. This little you that you say is the one who thinks and says and does all things. I did this. I accomplished that. I thought this. I was saying this. Always the little I, which we have mounted into a great big mountain, as though it were the supreme I am. That is the one that has to be totally given up, discarded, crucified, and transformed into the divine. The great ego of the universe, the great I am, which Moses spoke of in the Bible. It is really something to come in contact with this higher self of yours. You have been depriving yourself all of your lives of the greatest wonder and beauty and power and wisdom and peace and knowledge that was ever offered to man on a silver platter. illusion of sin, of separation, and realize who and what we are in God. And when we do this, we will find that we are perfect in Him, that we always were, we are, and we always will be one with Him. It cannot be otherwise when there is nothing else but God living His life. We are each the separate cells of His body, all strung on the silver thread of light, of spirit, each and every one of us. But in accordance with the way we live our lives, so goes the world. And the world today, as we see it, is certainly in a sorry state. And the world is never going to change until we as individuals change ourselves. Until we as individuals have the courage, the vision, and the absolute will to change. Why do we wishwash? Many times I spend myself in speaking to you. The Spirit of God flows through me. I close my eyes. I turn myself over to Him completely. That one that I call myself is that which is necessary in the human to keep me in this human body. I knock myself out with personal interviews, trying to do everything, to counsel, to guide, to direct. 5 minutes after, I can say to an individual sometimes, "Well, how are you tonight or this morning," whichever the case may be. "I don't know, pretty good." It gets a little bit discouraging, you know. It really does. Because I'm not doing this for me. I am doing it to help you to discover who and what you are, to help you out of this life of enslavement to the senses, where you're kicked around by these two forces, where 1 minute you're up and the other minute you're down, where 1 minute you're having riches and the other you're living in abject poverty. 1 minute you have a job and the next minute you don't have one. I'm trying to help you to rise above all of this so that, as the Christ said, that you are heir with Christ, with dominion over all of the kingdoms of heaven and of earth. Do you realize what that means? It means that you, the man in which God, the form of the man in which the living spirit dwells, the God-man, lives, has the power over all of the other kingdoms of earth. Not in the human ego sense, so that you have a lust for power, a lust to dominate, a lust to destroy, a lust to have everything just for yourself, but rather that you have the power to wield anything in accordance with God's will for His perfect plan and purpose. You think to yourself, "But look what I've been. Look where I am now. I'm just at the beginning." God recognizes neither beginnings nor ends. He contains both within Himself. But He is above and beyond all these things. And He is all-powerful. He is your real self. And if He is all-powerful and He is your real self, then are you not that also? My God, what power you wield to do good, to change not only the world within yourself, but the world around you. And gradually, as we develop an army for God, as man realizes who and what he is and lifts himself up out of the mud into the light of his own spiritual consciousness, this light will spread, and the teachings will spread, and the power will spread, and this world will become a different place because it is the way God destined it to be. There are high and low periods, but they are still the path. This is the path. You think to yourself, "Well, I was really up there the other day or last month or whatever, and all of a sudden I have a dry spell. I don't know if I even believe in God, if I'm interested in going to God. What's the percentage? I've been trying and trying. Nothing much has happened, if anything. I might as well give up. Why should I make all this effort with no results?" This is a common thing for man to feel. It is the temptation that comes, the delusion. You want to know why? Because this delusive self, this ego, is so firmly embedded in your heart and in your consciousness that it will do anything to trick you, to delude you into thinking that you don't want to get rid of it. and it's just an imposter. It is not for real one little tiny minute. Your real self is God within you, the infinite spirit. That wine of spirit is constantly flowing into your being, replenishing, rejuvenating, re-energizing, giving you power to think and feel and breathe and move and have your being every moment of your life. And when you can learn to work in harmony with these laws and to have the courage to make the right decisions, to say no when this delusive force tempts you, to say, like Jesus said, "Get thee behind me, Satan," and reach out for your good, then you're certainly going to go places. And again, you will put your feet on the first rung of the ladder. You will start again to climb the mountain. And every time you climb, you're going to get a little bit higher, and you're going to stay there longer, and you're going to enjoy more beauty, more wonder, more bliss, more power, more everything. And then when you've used up what you have earned, you come back down again into the valley. And you live a little, you laugh a little, you cry a little, you suffer a little, you rejoice a little. You just plain live life until whatever it is in these forces of duality again whips you to the point where you have to start climbing the mountain because there's no place else to go. You've tried everything else, everybody else, and nothing works. You've got to get release. This is a built-in mechanism of man. He can't resist it because it is his heritage, his birthright, the purpose for which he was put on this earth. What a tremendous place this would be. We say, yes, but if there was no opposition, there would be no growth. But that opposition can come in its pure state. It doesn't have to come in the black states that we are and have been experiencing it in the past years. It will come in many ways. Pardon me. It will come in many ways. Whatever you need will be given to you when the moment comes. As I have told some of you before, when I went through some of these tremendous experiences where the consciousness was released from the three bodily jars, I didn't have any knowledge that this was the true meaning of the cross and the crucifixion, of going the way, of picking up my cross and following the Christ in every detail in order that I might prove that I was his disciple. I had no knowledge of this. I had never been told it. I had never read it. It was not in my consciousness. During this lifetime, I had never once practiced hatha yoga. Never once. And yet, when it was necessary for my body to go through these asanas in order that the atomic structure might be loosened to the extent where the consciousness could be released from each one of the bodily jars, God lifted me up. He put me through every single one of them until it was as though I didn't have a bone in my body. He did this for me. He made my body to move. He made me dance. He made me sing. These things are well known in India. They talk about the dance of Shiva, the cosmic dance. They know that sound controls and governs the elements. And so the individual soul, when it is going through these experiences, goes through these various manifestations and maneuvers in order that this atomic structure may be loosened. The elements of the body may be loosened so that the consciousness can be released from it. It's a tremendous experience. It is difficult to go through. But it is a lot like the mother who is bearing a child. And she comes to the moment of labor. And that labor, in most cases, is extremely painful if she does it in the natural way and doesn't take drugs of any sort or spinal blocks or things of this nature. But yet, no matter how much pain she goes through, when that child utters its first cry, when it is given to her to hold in her arms and she sees this little bundle from heaven that is now a part of her flesh and her bones and her blood, and the realization and the fulfillment of the love between her and the man she is married to, the man she has chosen to be her love for life. What a thrill! What a thrill! And the memory of that pain goes And you think, it was nothing. Look what I have in its place. And so it is with the birth of the Christ consciousness within you. There is a price to be paid for the perfection which you will gain. But after you have gained this bliss, this knowledge of your oneness with the Father, this price which you had to pay seems nothing in comparison with the great joy that is yours, the great reward, the great blessings, the great harvest that has come, because you have finally opened the lotus flower of your God realization. Your whole brain, your whole being has been expanded to see the great light of God, to receive it. You are filled with His peace and His bliss and His love and His power. And you know in truth that for the first time, that which you have called life is yours. That for the first time you are really living, not just existing, in half states of darkness and of light. You have gone beyond both into the eternal light of your own soul. This is a supreme state which every man was placed upon this earth to attain. Not to grovel in the dust like a worm, not to be a slave of his desires, but to be a master of himself and therefore of all of the kingdoms of heaven and of earth. You can take up your pen, which in this case would be your will. And you can use that will, guide it and direct it in any way. And you have many sources of reference. You have discrimination. You have judgment. You have the power to reason. You have the power to choose. All of these things you have. But it will depend on what you write with this pen of will as to what your book of life is going to contain. And you can write it in with letters of gold, or you can write it with something that is indiscernible or that makes black smudges on these pure white pages. It is up to you. It is up to you. You've got to do more than want God. You have to will it with everything you have. Until you come to that moment when you can so surrender yourself to Him, so totally, that you can say, Father, if it be Thy will, then let me feel this union with You. Let me have this experience. But if it is not Thy will, I accept Thy will, Father. Let Thy will be done. And in that moment of total surrender, and God comes in, and He does the work. Because that pseudo-self, that delusive self, that ego, that one who sits on the throne of God telling himself he is God, that one that must disappear, is, believe me, gasping his last breath. He is going to disappear. He is going to be transformed into that which is real, that which is vibrant, that which is all beauty, all wonder. It is the wonder child of your being, this Christ child. Every man, every woman has this potential Christ within him. There is not one single living human being who does not have that, because the Spirit of God took on the form of flesh and dwelt among us. Every single one of us has the Spirit of God within us. We could not live without it, because this form is one which was made not with hands. It was made without hands. It was made by the infinite Spirit, the carpenter of the universe, the Christ within us, the only, first and only begotten Son of God the Father and God the Mother. Because it is through that divine union that this whole creation came forth, this manifested world. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. And if you can consciously train your mind, your consciousness, to accept only the good, to mix with people who will inspire you to lead a better life, who also are reaching out for the Spirit, to keep yourself from associating with those who drag you down and tempt you. This is a great step on the path. To give up the things of the senses, of the flesh, that only cause you difficulty and trouble and bind you with ever greater bonds They are like ropes, that, steel ropes that hang around you and bind you tight, and you aren't able to reach out and fly. You should so soar on the wings of prayer that you are lifted higher and higher and higher until you enter the castle of your Father's infinite presence. Sister Yanamata, many, many years ago, she was a very, very saintly soul and the Master's greatest woman disciple. And she was totally devoted to him, totally loyal to him. You would never see her with her back to him, always. Wherever he was, she would be facing him in adoration. No service was too great. She would even starve her body. She was a woman of great refinement. Her husband was a professor of law at the University of Washington. And President Spencer, when he was president of the University of Washington, made the statement about her that she had the most brilliant mind of any woman he had ever known. Still, this woman would give up her bed. She would sleep on a cold slab. She would sleep in the basement on the floor. She would give up her food. She would do anything because of her great love for God. And so when it came time for her to leave the body, the Master was sent for. And as he came before, she insisted on getting up from her deathbed and sitting before him because she did not want to lie down in his presence. So great was her love, her loyalty and her devotion for him. And so they put her up in the wheelchair, and she sat there. And so when he came in, she said, "Master, would you please, I've never asked you for anything. Would you do one thing for me?" And he said, "Name it." He said, "Would you give me Nirva Kalpa Samadhi?" And he said to her, "Why do you want to remain in the garden when you are already in the palace?" And that was the most beautiful statement. And when she passed on, he cried and cried as though his heart would break. Because he said she was the mother of wisdom. She was the ideal disciple. Because every thought, every word, every action was absolutely zoomed into God in her guru. There was no difference. Every single thing was God in her guru. I think I've told some of you before that one time she had her hand crushed. Every bone in her hand was crushed. It got mangled in a ringer when she was washing. And they took x-rays and they found that this was true. And they were going to have to amputate the hand. And she refused to let them do it. And they said that gangrene might set in. She'd lose it anyway. She said, "No, I will speak to the Master." So she went up. And such was her faith in his power to heal that she said, "Master, I know that you can put every bone in my hand back in place." He said, "You are asking a very great deal of me." She said, "Maybe so, but I have faith that you can do this." And so with the knowledge that he had, this yogic, knowledge of yogic powers, and this comes under the heading of Tantric Yoga, the Yoga of Powers, he set every single bone in her hand, and when again it was x-rayed, it was as though nothing had happened to it. This she told me with her own lips. She and I were very good friends. I myself, and the recipient of many miracles which the Master performed. To God, all things are possible. We limit ourselves in every direction because we will not open ourselves to the light, the wonder, the beauty, the supply of God. Everything that we need is waiting for us. It is waiting for us to reach out for it, to open ourselves so that we may receive it. But we keep all the doors and windows closed. We keep them covered with dark shades, and we wallow in the things of the senses, not realizing that everything we have ever wanted is ours if we will but make the effort to receive it, to open to it. Certainly perfection can be attained, not in a day or a night, because we have been so conditioned that we think it is impossible, but it could happen in the twinkle of an eye, a wink of an eye. In just a second. And many have had it happen so. It will take you as long to realize this wonder within yourself as you decide it will. You can put all the stumbling blocks in your path, or you can remove them. You can keep repeating to yourself, as Christ said, "I and my Father are one. I and my Father are one. He who hath seen me hath seen the Father." Or you can spend all of your days in pleasures that disappear, that fade away, and leave you nothing much to think about. And certainly you haven't come with any place with them. Each of you have a job to do in this world. Many of you have great gifts. Many of you would like to pursue these gifts. But some of these gifts, it is not practical to pursue as a vocation, because man has to earn his living. He has to earn enough to keep himself together, body and soul, to pay his rent, to eat, to wear, to purchase money for wearing clothes and the necessities of life. And so he must do that which is practical to start out with, but never to let go of his dream, and to make that his advocation until one day, having laid the foundation of having put everything he has into the effort to realize his oneness with God, his dream of the special gift that he has been given will come true. It will be manifested because he has done the work. He has been willing to humble himself to do anything in order to do it. Jesus himself and all of the saints do the same thing. They teach us the greatest humility. Jesus washed the feet of his disciples. Babaji, the headmaster in our own line, also washed the feet of the disciples. What does this mean? What does it mean? It means that Christ presence within you completely purifies and makes perfect the 12 powers or disciples within yourself until you become a fit offering to lay at the feet of God and to receive that which will give you peace and bliss and happiness forevermore. O Heavenly Father.
O Heavenly Father.
Divine Mother. I feel the wonder and the beauty. Of thy glorious presence. In every part of my being.
My heart is bursting with my love for thee.
I kneel in adoration at thy feet. And surrender myself to thee. I feel the power of thy perfection. Surging in every cell of my body.
My mind and my intelligence
are radiant with thy healing light. My soul is filled with the ecstasy and bliss.
Of my communion with thee.
I and my Father are one.
Blessed Spirit, I am He.
O Heavenly Father.
Open my eyes that I may see thy face.
Open my ears that I may hear thy footsteps everywhere. Open my heart that I may feel the glory of thy love. O Heavenly Father.
May thy love shine forever.
Upon the sanctuary of my devotion. May I be able to awaken thy love in all hearts. And bring them to thee. Consciousness expand until you see his light everywhere, no matter where you look. you will say, it is he, it is he.